Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the new supervisor for Flathead National Forest, Montanans' reaction to the Trump administration's move to assassinate an Iranian military general, and the results of a lawsuit against the University of Wyoming. It's Monday, January 13th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. The State Health Department is changing how its programs for kids and families collaborate. Health officials announced Friday those services will now fall under the new Early Childhood and Family Support Division. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates-Carney reports.
State programs within Early Childhood Services, Child Care Licensing, No Kid Hungry, and others focusing on children and families will now all be under the same division within the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services. Jamie Pelagi is head of the new division. She says people receiving services won't notice the change.
Programs will still continue to do what they do. They'll be serving people as they are now, and hopefully over time we'll just do that in a more coordinated, seamless way.
State Representative Marika Farrow agrees this move could improve Montana's early childhood system. She says it can be difficult for people to know where to find the help they need.
The average person, how do you know where to go to do what's in the best interest of your children? So that's the current layout. And by putting everything together, you're putting all the pieces of the puzzle together under, you know, one roof.
Sheila Hogan, director of the State Health Department, says organizing these programs under the new division will make them more efficient. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
A Montana woman has been running a draft horse sanctuary west of Livingston for 16 years. United and Light Draft Horse Sanctuary holds open houses on the first Saturday of each month, with more frequent hours in June and July. People can visit the horses, groom them with brushes, and feed them apples and carrots. Deborah Durr says the mostly older horses have been rescued from abusive situations. Durr says she's housed more than 30 horses over the years and found homes for hundreds more. The horse sanctuary currently houses 12 draft horses and a quarter horse. The operation is run by volunteers, but donations are accepted. Emergency personnel and local volunteers came together in northwestern Montana to save the life of a horse that had been submerged up to its head in icy waters for hours. The Daily Interlake reports the 20-year-old gelding Henry is expected to make a full recovery. It took nearly 20 rescuers with heavy equipment and several hours to pull Henry from the ditch near Marion. Rescuers covered him with heated blankets, lifted him with heavy equipment, and he eventually reached the trailer, where he was given warm IV fluids. The Flathead National Forest announced Friday that it has a new leader. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports Kurt Steele will replace former forest supervisor Chip Weber, who retired earlier this month.
Steele is currently the deputy forest supervisor for Idaho's Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest and has served in the position for the past 3 years. He's also filled in for temporary stints as forest supervisor there and here in Montana on the Bitterroot National Forest, as well as other locations. Steele began his career as a wildland firefighter and eventually became a silviculturist. He then moved on to positions in forestry planning. He holds a Bachelor of Science in Natural Resources. He's due to start work with the Flathead National Forest in mid-February. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A report released last month from the U.S. Government Accountability Office found a majority of land purchased by the Forest Service using land and water conservation funds was in the West, which goes against LWCF guidelines. I found out more. A provision in the LWCF Act limits the amount of land the Forest Service can purchase west of the 100th Meridian, which divides the U.S. through the Great Plains, to 15%, unless otherwise specified by Congress. The GAO found 80% of the land purchased by the Forest Service from 2014 to 2018 was west of the Meridian. Anne Marie Fennell with the GAO.
We found that the Forest Service wasn't taking steps to ensure compliance. However, they informed us that they thought they were in compliance because the Congress authorizes and appropriates money for them to use for land acquisition.
The GAO recommends the Forest Service work with Congress to develop a clear interpretation of the provision. Four different federal land management agencies use the LWCF to manage public lands. About half the funds raised from offshore oil and gas royalties go toward buying land. For YPR News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. The Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office says a small airplane crashed north of Billings, and Sheriff Mike Linder says there were, quote, no signs of life, unquote, in the wreckage. The Cessna 182 crashed at about 6 p.m. Saturday. The wreckage was found Sunday morning between Billings and Roundup. Linder told the Billings Gazette it appears the airplane hit a wire on an antenna tower and tumbled down the side of a mountain. He said his office is still trying to determine how many people were on board, though the FAA says there were four occupants. A Cessna 182 typically has four seats. The National Fire Protection Association plans to award $500 grants to homeowners for fire protection. Ora Wetzel reports.
NFPA is pushing homeowners in wildfire-prone areas to protect their homes and start the conversation about fire safety. NFPA will be awarding 150 applicants across the country with $500 toward creating a fire-safe community. According to Kristen Sleeper, a statewide fire information officer for Montana's Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, the goal is to allow neighbors to work together and create a fire-safe community.
And so really the whole point of the grant is to help start the conversation and give people a few resources to take action on their own accord on Community Wildfire Preparedness Day, which is May 2nd of 2020.
Many resources are available for Montana residents living in fire risk areas, but according to Sleeper, the most useful is free wildfire home assessments. If you contact the DNRC, a wildfire professional will walk through your property with you and discuss what you can do to reduce fire risk. The grant should help homeowners achieve basic fire prevention tasks, like replacing old roof shingles and siding that could potentially allow embers into the home. The period to apply for grants began on January 7th and will go until February 28th. More information is on our website, ypradio.org. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Ora Wetzel.
The Republican members of Montana's congressional delegation are offering unwavering support of President Trump after the assassination of Iran's military general Qasem Soleimani. But others are questioning the situation. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
Republican Senator Steve Daines and House Representative Greg Gianforte are both closely aligning themselves with President Trump following Soleimani's killing and briefings with Congress this week. Both say there was sufficient evidence to support Trump's actions. Daines said in an emailed statement, quote, "The president, as commander-in-chief, has the authority and responsibility to protect Americans facing imminent danger." About 30 people gathered outside of Daines' Missoula office Thursday evening to protest his response. Director of the local left-leaning activist group Missoula Rises, Erin Erickson, helped put on the short event because she says Trump didn't have the evidence to support his decision.
My preference would be that before our president takes a reckless action, which seems to be a diversion from the impeachment proceedings, that he, first of all, have congressional authorization and that the imminent threat be present.
In response, Daines said, quote, "It's disheartening to see Missoula Rising mourning the death of a terrorist who killed over 600 Americans," end quote. Montana's Democratic Senator John Tester has a starkly different view on the Trump administration's briefings with Congress. He says the evidence presented talked about general threats in the region, but nothing specific.
What was the intelligence that was out there that said, we got to do this now or something else is going to happen, and if we take him out, that will stop? None of that information was given to us.
Trump said in an interview Friday that Soleimani was planning attacks at four U.S. embassies in the Middle East. Tester is signing on to Democratic Virginia Senator Tim Kaine's resolution to limit Trump's war powers when it comes to Iran. Tester says the resolution solidifies Congress's constitutional powers of war. Some Republican senators have voiced support for the measure, but Trump has railed against the move on Twitter. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A court in Wyoming sided with a group of newspapers last week affirming the public's right to know over individual privacy. I found out the ruling will make records involving the dismissal of former University of Wyoming President Lori Nichols public unless UW appeals the decision. Albany County District Court Judge Tori Cricken ruled January 3rd the majority of records sought by the Casper Star Tribune and other media outlets should be made public. Dale Bourne is publisher for the Casper Star Tribune.
I think it's a win for the public because the public is going to get access to these records. The judge said she was not going to release them until there had been an opportunity for appeal by the university.
A spokesperson for the University of Wyoming, Chad Baldwin, says the University Board of Trustees is still reviewing the decision, but will likely appeal the ruling.
The feeling of the board is that by law, these are records that fall under exemptions to the public records law.
UW argued in court the records fall under personnel files, which are private under state public records laws. Legal representation for the news outlets argued that Nichols is a public figure as university president. They also argued that because UW, Wyoming's flagship university, receives a significant amount of public funding from Wyoming taxpayers, the records requested by the Casper Star Tribune should be public. Nichols has sided with the university in the case. She recently took a job as president of Black Hills State University in Spearfish, North Dakota. The Casper Star Tribune began seeking records when UW allowed Nichols' contract as president to expire over the summer. Publisher Dale Bourne says most were surprised by the move.
It's a really big deal in Wyoming, and people love the University of Wyoming. It was really an enigma why Lori Nichols was not retained.
When UW denied their requests for documents, the Casper Star Tribune YO file, the Laramie Boomerang, and the Wyoming Tribune Eagle filed a joint lawsuit against the university based on Wyoming's public records law. Bourne says there's no animosity between the two parties in the lawsuit.
They're trying to serve the people of Wyoming the best they can, and I understand that and I respect that. All we are doing is we are seeking clarity on how records are managed.
Lee Bamville, a professor at the University of Montana's Journalism School, says Friday's ruling supports the public's right to know over individual privacy.
It's really not about the journalist accessing it. It's about the public's right to access that information. And the journalists are typically the people who are on the front lines of this question of what should be public, what should the public have the right to know.
Bamville says while Montana law generally favors the public's right to know over individual privacy, Wyoming has historically placed more emphasis on an individual's right to privacy. According to YO file, Judge Cricken said in a conference call with lawyers, a log detailing withheld documents must be provided to the news outlets by January 13th. It's unclear when the documents themselves will be released if UW chooses not to appeal. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.